Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome back to Digital Spy's Soap Scoop podcast, where every Friday we're chatting with some of our favourite people from the world of soaps and breaking down the biggest goings-on in EastEnders, Emmerdale, Coronation Street and Hollyoaks.
That's right. And this week, Sophie, you're my favourite person in soap. We are who we're talking to this week, as we're going to do our normal kind of spoiler roundup, as you'd expect. And then towards the end of the show, we'll just kind of run through some kind of big things we can expect over Christmas, things we're looking forward to.
Yep, it's a special episode this week because we have, in the words of Boys to Men, reached the end of the road with this series. It's very sad, but it's an exciting episode to end on because obviously we're now in December, we're heading into Christmas, it's all happening.
Yeah, I mean, Christmas is like the best, I mean, it's the most dramatic time of the year for soaps, definitely. So I'm glad we can go out with a bang on our final episode of the series and then and talk about the things that are coming up. But before we do that, shall we jump into the spoilers for next week?
Yes, and next week, of course, if you are a Corrie fan or if you're just aware of dates in history, it is Corrie's 60th anniversary, which is just remarkable, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny. It's been so, I feel like, obviously we've had a year of doing Zoom quizzes and kind of trivia nights and all that sort of stuff. And I feel like over the past month, so many quizzes I've done or shows I've watched, there's been a question around, what date did Coronation Street start on? Or how many years has Coronation Street been running? Because 60 is such a milestone.
It is. It is the UK's, or maybe even the world's, I don't know. No one come get me. But I think the longest running soap. It's funny is, I don't know if anyone's watching I'm a Celebrity, but there was a trial the other day with Russell and he was doing this general knowledge stuff. He'd sort of go into this batter and it was all very grim. But one of the questions was about how long Corrie had been on air for, and he got it wrong. And I was like, come on.
Liz McDonald is right there in the camp.
I know. But then I have to take my soap hat off and realise that not everybody is as in tune with the dates as we maybe are. But yes, so next week, it's Corrie's big 60th milestone. They are marking the occasion with 3 one-hour episodes. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And it'll be bringing some stories to a gripping climax, as well as launching new ones to take us into 2021 and beyond. So, first up, we have Yasmin's trial reaching a conclusion. Will justice prevail? We hope so.
Yeah, I mean, this is it. This is the one, right? This is the storyline that we've all been kind of avidly following all year. This is the one that's going to go down, I think, as the biggest storyline across probably all the soaps for 2020. Mm-hmm. Certainly one of the most impactful. And yeah, we're going to kind of get to the end of the trial. We don't know what the verdict is yet, but we know that once the verdict has passed and once the barristers kind of deliver their closing speeches, we're going to have a week of fallout for whatever the trial verdict is. Certainly going to have an impact on lots of people around the street. And we're going to see, I think, the big way it's going to shake out. It's going to be a big confrontation between Jeff and Alia.
That is going to go off. So the trial, the fallout from the trial is going to reverberate around the street, obviously, as these things do. And then Jeff and Alia are going to be locking horns once again, maybe for the final time.
Yeah, the things we know are, that, like we say, they're going to have the kind of this argument, and then we've got some photos and some stuff that we've seen of Jeff, like pouring lighter fluid around number six, And Alia's kind of in tow there. She's following him. And there's going to be some sort of big dramatic rooftop showdown, which is very exciting.
Yes. Could this be the end for Jeff? Watch this space. Or will he sail off into the sunset? We hope not, but you never know.
Anything can happen. Exactly. I mean, I think lots of people will be shouting at their TV if that is what happens. So I'm sure we're going to get, you can't have a soap. We know something dramatic is going to happen because people are on the roof. I feel like that's the most dramatic setting in all of soap operas. It's like when people are on the roof, that's when it's going to go off, like you said.
Yeah, Max Branning knows all about this if you watch EastEnders. So that's obviously one of the three big stories playing out next week. The second one is obviously the fight to save the street. This has been going on for a few weeks now, but it's all building up to this big moment where we have Corrie legends, of course, Ken Barlow and Rita Tanner. They are going to be stepping up to try and save the street, effectively, which I think is really fitting because Bill and Barbara have returned to filming just in time for the milestone birthday editions. And it is going to be, I think it's going to be quite emotional, quite tense, quite exciting. There's some great pictures. I'm not sure if anyone's seen them.
I'm obsessed with these photos of Bill Roach in front of like a bulldozer. It's just so good. So yeah, what's going to happen? What we know that's going to happen is going to be, as we talked about last week, there's this plan to get the brewery to become a listed building. In the hopes that will stop Ray's plans. Ray finds out about these plans. He brings the kind of his timeline forward, basically. He thinks, okay, well, if I need to make a move now. So he brings his bulldozer into the street. And luckily, they're, like you said, Rita and Ken are there. And everyone kind of sets up camp in front of the bulldozer. There's just all these great photos of Bill Roach kind of facing off against this big bit of heavy machinery, which is very funny.
Yeah, and then Rita also helpfully tries to keep spirits high by leading a rendition of We Shall Not Be Moved. I don't know why I'm laughing, but it just very, very fitting with what's going on, I guess.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be, a big dramatic moment, but it's also like, there's definitely a level of like high campiness with everything you're describing in this scene. I cannot wait to see it play out. We're going to see how it all shakes out. This is kind of, this is the other big Corrie storyline, and I love the way that they're bringing it together for 60th anniversary, and they're kind of having this like everyone's getting involved. Very excited to see what happens.
Yeah, it's got everything in it, really, isn't it? It's the perfect tonic. It's sort of drama, quite moving, but also entertaining.
There's going to be some comedy here, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. What does the future hold for Coronation Street, literally? Tune in to find out. And then next on our list, we have the fallout, sadly, of Carla's betrayal, and that obviously ties in with Peter's relapse. Obviously, he's been told that one more drink could kill him.
Yeah, it's a big moment for this character. We spoke about it, I think, last week, the week before, about Peter's development and this battle with alcoholism that we've seen play out on the screens for years and years, which has been, you know, fascinating to watch and been delivered with some really phenomenal performances. And I'm sure this will be the same again. He knows that, or he thinks that Carla's kind of having an affair with Daniel, and obviously that's not the truth, and the kind of, it looks like that the truth is going to come out about Adam at some point.
Yeah, so obviously she slept with Adam, his nephew, not ideal, it never is, and she's told him that she's cheated, but not told him who with, which is, you know, kind of crucial information given that it's his nephew. But next week he's going to have a little bit of a change of heart. He's obviously, with everything that's gone on with Leanne, he's like, you know what? This relationship is worth fighting for. I don't want to lose her. He proposes. It's all looking lovely. But then their happiness, of course, is going to come under threat again when Daniel discovers Carla and Adam's secret. And then obviously their conversations. Jenny's going to spot Carla leaving Daniel's flat, I believe.
Yes.
And obviously that gets back to Peter. And he is left thinking that Daniel is the man in question. Close, but no cigar, Peter. And jumping on to Emmerdale, we're going to see a special episode centred around the Laurel and Jay storyline that we spoke in a lot of detail about last week.
Yeah, with we spoke with Chris Bisson last week, and I highly recommend, if this is a storyline that you're interested in or you're kind of reading a lot about, I definitely recommend going back and listening to that interview, because I think it was really interesting to hear his perspective on lots of things and hear kind of why this storyline is kind of impacting him personally and his own kind of personal experiences and history with the topics they're dealing with.
Yeah, absolutely. So to recap a little bit, Laurel and Jay are in the middle of a storyline centered on Laurel's pregnancy, and the scenes airing sort of this week through to next week will see them find out that their child will be born with Down syndrome. So the special episode airing next week is going to see them return home from the hospital. It's all very difficult, especially as Gabby has picked up the baby scan and the kids are celebrating the imminent arrival of their brother or sister. So it's really going to focus on Laurel and Jay as they struggle to make a decision over this obviously life-changing situation. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Marlon and Rona are going to be brought into this as they're overheard fondly discussing the joy of lovely Leo and, you know, the joy that he's brought to the world.
There's been lots of attention going to be paid to it, and I think lots of people will have lots of opinions about how the show handles it. But like we said last week, it's definitely worth... This is the episode, right? So I think, you know, watch it if you can and make your mind up about it after that, rather than and try and leave some preconceptions at the door and see how the show handles it, because I think we've got every reason to expect Emmerdale to handle this sensitively.
I just think, like we've just said and like Chris said last week, maybe go in with an open mind if you can, because I think the scenes will be very delicately handled.
Yeah, definitely.
And then moving on slightly, we have Mina still trying to win over Manpreet, and wow, does she go to some very drastic measures.
Yeah, so we've got the kind of this storyline kicks into high gear, I think, next week. We see Rishi gets involved in a car crash, and he is going to try and make a call to Manpreet to let her know what's going on. And then his phone dies. He can't make the call. And then we see on kind of Manpreet's side of things that she suddenly panics. She doesn't know where he is. She's lost her phone, it appears. And so she goes to kind of look for him with some help from Mina and Priya. Eventually, she finds him. She brings him home. Rishi's, you know, so thankful and kind of it's almost a little bit too good to be true. And that is because it is too good to be true. So what we're going to learn is that when Mina's alone, it's revealed that she's the one responsible for Manpreet losing her phone and for Rishi's pills going missing, which, you know, is kind of the cause of some of the crash. So it's basically becoming clear that she's taking some pretty drastic measures to get into Manpreet's good books.
And is looking like her devious plan will work like a charm. But for how long? These things always come out in the end, don't they?
Exactly. Yeah, you can't... I'm interested to know kind of how this sort of schemes never pan out in Soap Land. So we'll interesting to see how it all kind of comes up.
And then finally, for Emmerdale, we have the confirmation of this Christmas wedding that we've all been talking about. Yeah. It's going to be Paddy and Chaz. It's going to be lovely. It's going to be festive. It makes me feel all warm inside.
Yes. Yeah, we've got to have one, like, joyful Christmas. I feel like every soap, you can do, like, two or three, you know, sad Christmas storylines, but you want one at least that's kind of, like, has a bit of joy to it. And hopefully, you know, it's been a rough year for Paddy and for Chaddy fans, but hopefully this is going to be a nice kind of little Christmas miracle at the end of the year.
Yeah, and I feel like it's fitting that we're our final episode. We can confirm there's going to be a wedding for Chaddy, because it's been up and down. We've been on a journey with them, haven't we, through this podcast? But yeah, it's looking like there could be a happy ending.
Yeah, it's nice to think that we've been talking about this storyline since we started, and it's going to end potentially in a good place.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not, you know, we can't say that for much else. So there are a happy ending. Thank you, Chaddy. And then jumping on to EastEnders.
Yes.
Where, unsurprisingly, we have the fallout of Ian's shocking attack.
Yeah, this is one, again, that we've been kind of, we knew was coming for a while. And yeah, we're going to have, so you're hearing this, if you're hearing this on Friday, then tonight we're going to get the scenes where we kind of see the immediate aftermath of Ian's attack. We're going to kind of see him lying kind of motionless on the floor of the Queen Vic after someone, we don't know who, has taken revenge. We're going to see, and then over the next week, the story's going to unfold a bit more. So Sharon and Kathy find him. They find a phone and an ambulance. And once the police get involved, who else would lead the investigation? But good old Jack Branning.
I was about to say the same thing. I mean, of all the policemen, it's got to be Jack leading it, hasn't he?
I feel like there's a thing in soaps where no one ever says, this might be a conflict of interest. Like, whenever the police get involved, it's never like, oh, you know, should we get someone else on the case? It's always like, oh, this guy knows everyone, so yeah, he'll be perfect.
Yeah, it's the same with doctors as well. Like, Dr. Carl, our good friend, Dr. Carl, he's like involved in every single medical emergency, every medical problem. Like, again, like you say, that no one ever thinks about conflict of interest, but it's all good. So yeah, Jack is going to be leading the investigation. There's going to be a lot of suspicions. People are going to be pointing their finger. People are going to be covering their tracks. Who do you think did it, Ali?
So the thing I would say is that we know that some point next week someone is going to get arrested, but we know how soaps works. We know that whoever gets arrested first, it can't be them.
It won't be them.
It's definitely not them. Mm. I don't know. I think we spoke about last week. I think I'm happy to write off the Carters. I don't think Tina's going to have done this. I don't think Linda has done this. I don't think... I don't think... Maybe Max has done it. And the reason I say that with my conspiracy theory hat on is because we know Jake Wood is leaving.
Yeah.
So it could definitely be that. You know, it's you could see a world in which Max is the one that did it and then he runs away. But then I also think... What Max wants is to get money from Ian, and I don't think the way you do that is by bopping him on the head. That feels like that doesn't feel like, you know, makes much sense.
You're not going to get your money if the person's dead or in a coma, are you?
Exactly. So that makes me think maybe, and then I don't think it's going to be Stuart or Rainey. That seems like, or Tiffany. That's a red herring. Surely they're too nice.
Yeah, I think
so.
So
maybe it's a Mitchell, and maybe it's Ben. But I don't know whether Ben cares enough really about Ian to kind of do that. So I don't know, I think, is the answer.
I think, like you say, I think Max, Ben, it's definitely in keeping with their character. They're impulsive, quite aggressive. But my money is still on Sharon, and I've got another one, and that is Dottie, because that's all gone very quiet, and she randomly disappeared in an episode the other day, which I actually didn't think anything of it.
She's like in the kitchen you're right. It was a few weeks ago and she's talking to Kat and because she lives with Wit, doesn't she? And she's like, I'm going to stay with Sonia for a bit she's going to go stay with
it was Dot, I think.
Yeah, she's gonna go stay with Dot, and so she disappears. But that's the first time she's been in it for a few weeks. And that was strange. And you're right, we never got a resolution to maybe it's Sharon, because that would bookend the year as well, right? We started in February with Denny's death, and we'll end with some sort of moment of a resolution if Sharon kind of takes her revenge. It's interesting.
It would be
definitely
good. Yeah.
That
I think
makes
she'd
a
be
lot
good
of
one.
Sense. You've convinced me. You've convinced me.
I can be very convincing when I want to be. So yeah, watch this space. Let us know who you think it could be. I think it'll be easier to work to maybe have more theories once it's played out on screen.
Yes,
whereas at the moment,
definitely.
We're sort of talking ahead of time. But then the second story in EastEnders, this is also a good one, I think, because we know Cush is leaving next year, but he returns. He's on the run at the moment with Kat. He returns to the square. She's obviously thinking that they've come back to get their money from Phil so they can leave and start a new life together abroad. But he has a slightly ulterior motive, I think, for returning. I think he is like, do you know what? This isn't worth it. So he hands himself into the police. So
mean, Cush's decision making, obviously, you know, he's been dealing with gambling addiction and stuff, but the past few weeks it's like, make your mind up what you're gonna do. You're gonna hide in an attic, you're gonna do the crime, you're gonna not do the crime, you're gonna punch Callum. It's very erratic. So I'm interested to see kind of what his thinking is, because they say they come back to the square, Kat tries to get money from Phil, she's off doing her thing, and she turns around and Cush has gone and handed himself in. So yeah, very interesting.
You're right, he's all over the place, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Like I said just now, we've got this added knowledge that he's, you know, his time on the show is numbered, but is this going to be his exit storyline, or is something else going to happen? Is he going to flee again? Don't know, but you'll find out shortly. I am sure.
Definitely.
And then last but not least is Hollyoaks. And I am just going to say, I'm really enjoying Hollyoaks at the moment. I think it's great. Like, we've only got a few weeks now until the flash forward episode, and things are really gathering momentum. So the big story across next week is this culmination of the Edward plot that's going to play out all the way through to Christmas. Mm. So we've seen him. This has really taken centre stage all year, really. But we're going to see him proposed to Diane. I think he's very confident that he's kind of got her where he wants her, but she is jealous that Tony appears to be moving on, which would imply she's still got feelings for him.
Yeah, of course she does. This is what we've all kind of known, isn't it, from the get-go to a certain extent.
Yeah. So she, Tony tells Diane, obviously, like, when Diane's acting a little bit jealous, Tony tells Diane that he's still in love with her, that he still wants to be with her, which, you know, is putting Edward's plans in a little bit of trouble. And then meanwhile, Verity has had enough of Edward as well. She wants to tell Diane the truth. So Edward, knowing that his secrets are unravelling at a very fast pace.
Yeah, they're all, you're right. They're all coming undone at once. That's the thing. That's the exciting thing about this storyline is we've had a year of him kind of like manipulating people behind the scenes and slowly kind of like driving wedges between people and kind of doing all these kind of schemey things. And then, yeah, it's all suddenly untangling before our eyes.
Yeah, yeah. And then he takes drastic action to silence someone he loves while framing Tony in the process. And I don't know if you've seen, but Hollyoaks released a trailer last week, I think it was.
Yes.
And you see Edward whacking Diane over the head. Mm. So, dun, dun, dun. I have to wait and see what's going to happen there. But like I said, this is going to be going all the way through to Christmas, where I think it's probably going to erupt. But as for whether Tony and Diane will reunite and live happily ever after, I don't know.
Yeah, it's been a good, I think, but just quickly, I would say, like you say, I think Hollyoaks is in such a good place at the moment. And you, like, they're spinning so many plates and they're all quite interesting, if that makes sense. Like, I think a lot of the, sometimes with soaps, like, you end up tuning in because you're interested in one or two storylines or something becomes like the main story of the soap. And I think Hollyoaks has done a really good job this year of like constantly moving storylines around. So you're like, you're watching one for a week or two thinking that's the main thing. And actually this, you know what I mean? I think it's kind of balancing them all really well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's something for everyone, isn't there? Like we've got this Edward, Diane, Tony, that's, you know, classic characters with this, all these twists. Whereas we've got the McQueen plot, which is a bit bonkers and outrageous. This stalker, dull stuff. And then you've got kind of the more old school Joel, Teresa, Goldie, Cleo, Love Square. So yeah, I think, like you said, I think that, yeah, they're juggling all these different plates and I think there is something there for everyone, whatever your choice of storyline is. And then finally, we have Ollie and his ongoing drugs problem, which Luke and Cindy are really going to be trying to get to the bottom of next week. But he, for the first time, really opens up as to like what's going on, and he tells them that he takes drugs to forget that Luke is dying, which is really sad.
Really, really sad.
Yeah, really sad. So it's a case of like whether they can reassure him. I think Cindy does try, and she's like, you know, like he's not going anywhere for ages. And then later on, she does start to fear that Luke could be going downhill.
And it's that thing, right? Like she wants to calm him down, but also like the reality is Luke's health is in a kind of bad situation. So it's that. She doesn't want to lie, but she doesn't want to, you know, make him too worried.
Yeah, it's very sad. But like we say, hope you enjoy next week's stories. Lots going on. Happy birthday, Corey.
Yeah, happy birthday, Corey. So that does it for this week coming.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
But shall we talk a little bit about Christmas? because as we said at the beginning of the show, it is the most kind of dramatic time of the year, and we wanted to make sure we covered off all our bases before we ended this final episode by talking about, yeah, some of the big storylines we're excited to kind of sit down and watch over the Christmas week.
Yeah, what I love about Christmas is I always say, oh, it's the most wonderful time of the year, but it's not the most wonderful time of the year in Soapland, because something bad always happens.
Definitely.
Right, let's start with Emmerdale, where kind of we're going to talk about what we know so far.
Yeah.
And obviously, like we said just now, big story this year is going to be focusing around Paddy and Chaz's wedding, which is going to be hopefully going off without a hitch. And we've also got Al's secret coming to a head. So we're going to find out who his mystery woman is.
Maybe not the kind of perfect wedding day we're expecting, but something, I'm sure something interesting will come out.
Yep. And then also over the festive season, we have Charity's self-destructive path. She's drinking a lot. It's going to come to a head in the Christmas week.
I mean, yeah. What can we say about this? We just want her to be happy and loved and not in this situation, bless her.
It's so sad. Hopefully 2021 will bring happier times for Vanity.
Yes, definitely.
Please. And then finally, with Emmerdale, we've got a big drama for Vinny, Mandy and the Tates once Kim is back.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting to see what happens here. I think the Dingles are in such a funny place. This side of the Dingle family is such a funny place at the moment. And obviously, it's a classic balance with Mandy's character of being like this mix of comic relief, but also she's got quite like this at the moment. She's got quite this heavy storyline coming down the tracks. I'm enjoying seeing her and Vinny's scenes. I'm enjoying, obviously, everything's happened there. So, yeah, excited to see how they deal with that once Kim returns.
Yeah, I feel like Mandy's another one we've been on a journey with through this podcast. We started with her very early on and we've discussed it quite a lot in later episodes. So, yeah, lots of love for Mandy. Corey, so we already know through various teasers that David and Shona's journey will be coming to a head with a happy ending, surprisingly, which is great. And then obviously we know like her memory loss has caused lots of problems for them, but it's looking like Christmas could be a good time if you are a David and Shona fan.
And then hopefully this will be one of our, you know, like we said earlier, we've got to have at least one glimmer of hope in the Soap's Christmases, and maybe this will be Corey's.
Yeah, hopefully. And then we've also got Todd's scheming to win Billy back and sabotage Paul. That's going to be escalating over Christmas. I think that's going to get very dramatic.
Yeah. This new Todd does not mess around. And I feel like it's not going to be a quiet one for them.
No, absolutely not. And then obviously, very sadly, we've got going to see Leanne struggling with her grief over Christmas as well. Obviously, little Oliver passed away last week, and the festive season is going to be, you know, unsurprisingly, a really, really difficult time for her. And then finally, there's going to be two characters. This is a little teaser here because can't give too much away. Two characters who have been featuring in other people's storylines for most of the year, but not necessarily had a story in their own right, but they are going to be taking center stage in a big Christmas plot.
Yeah, very excited for this one.
Yeah, this is going to be a good one. Like I said, we're limited in what we can say, but you can probably guess. I've given you quite a lot of clues. And then jumping on to EastEnders, where the big Christmas story, as we discussed just now, is going to be the fallout of Ian's attack. That's going to be playing out across the festive episodes and potentially beyond. But will we find out who did it?
I think my prediction is, storyline-wise, that we will find out who did it, and then everyone else on the square won't, if you know what I mean. I think that's going to be the how they hook it into 2021, is that we'll know by the end of the Christmas period who's done it, but whether anyone else will is a question.
That's a good theory, actually. We've had that with other things, haven't we? Like Archie and other whodunits. Like we've seen, and Lucy, like we find that and then it plays out on screen later on. Yeah, that's a good little theory. Another big festive story in EastEnders is going to be Max and Linda's affair coming to a head. That's right. They embark on a full-blown affair behind Mick's back. It's shocking.
I just think, we didn't talk about this storyline this week. It's been a really interesting one. I was talking to someone the other day. Like, I think the Mick stuff has been, it's been handled in a really interesting way. And obviously EastEnders has really taken its time to work out what it wants to do here, I think, with Mick. Which is something that I am really enjoying. And I'm enjoying seeing Danny Dyer kind of like stretch his acting chops a bit more and get to do some more interesting scenes. But the other flip side of that storyline is this Max and Linda affair. I can't be having it. I'm not I'm not here for it. I'm not a fan.
No, I'm not either. But I do think there's so many layers to the story, and we kind of can see, obviously Linda has got no idea what's going on with Mick. So she just feels so rejected and so unloved. So you can kind of see why she's looking elsewhere. Like, it's not acceptable. And I'm definitely team Mick, but I think it's not just a standard, you know.
Oh yeah, definitely. And those scenes where, all the scenes we've seen of like, where Mick, where she, it tends to be she's done something nice, Mick comes home and he just like dismisses her or ignores her. Like, they are heartbreaking. So, you know,
it's painful, isn't it?
Total sympathy for Linda, but, you know, I just want to make sure that she has a happy ending. I don't think that's with Max. Yeah.
Max is not the answer, Linda. He's not. Listen to us. And then finally for EastEnders, well, not finally, but the final teaser we're going to give you for EastEnders is this much anticipated shock return. You're going to have to wait and see who it is, but we do know that Lucas and Chelsea are returning as part of Denise's story. So, could it be them? Quite possibly. And then Hollyoaks. I am really excited for Hollyoaks. Obviously, we are going to have we're going to have the much anticipated flash forward outcome, which is going to be on New Year's Eve. Yeah, I can't quite believe it.
No, it's been a whole year coming, hasn't it? And yeah, it's really exciting. And like we've been saying the whole time, like, absolute kudos to Hollyoaks for managing it all this year. Like, you know, they could have predicted a year ago when they said, okay, we're gonna set ourselves this goal for this time at the end of 2020, that everything that would have happened. So good for them for kind of getting here.
They got here against the odds, but we're here, and we're gonna see Yaz and Tom's wedding. We're gonna find out who was in the body bag. Oh, there's just so much to unpick there. Very excited. So that's the big one. But also over Christmas, we have the Edward, Tony, Diane stuff coming to a head. We just mentioned this just now, but that is gonna take off next week and really go all the way through to Christmas. I think in the trailer, you see Edward telling Tony that Diane is dead.
Yeah.
Shocking, but is she? Possibly not. Have to wait and see. And then, again, I feel like we've been on a journey with this one, but we've got the McQueen blackmail Silas story. Yeah, getting more and more sinister.
All the way from Halloween right up to Christmas. Like, it's very interesting. I can't wait. But hopefully this means we've got no more of that creepy doll. Going to bring in 2021 by having no more of that horrible, horrible doll.
I know, we don't want that doll. It's so creepy. I'm hoping we'll see something else. I'm sort of envisaging like some sort of nasty Christmas present or something festive.
Definitely.
But yeah, that's going to be a good one. But that is all the teasers you're getting for now. But I hope you enjoy the Christmas episodes. As always, I am sure they are going to be a, maybe not enjoyable, but a very dramatic watch.
Yeah, definitely. And on that note, we will be leaving you for the year. It's time for us to take our Christmas break too.
I know.
Yeah, it's absolutely mad. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us over the past 12 weeks. I have very much enjoyed sitting down with you, Sophie, and talking about our favourite soaps and interviewing some great people.
I know. It's been so much fun. It's gone so fast. But it's been great. Thank you all so much for tuning in and listening to our ramblings. I hope you've all got something from it, whatever like soap you're backing. But yeah, I hope it's been enjoyable for you.
And thank you to all of our guests who've appeared on the show over the past few weeks. It's been, it was fantastic talking to such a range of people from all over Soapland. But it's not the end of everything. You can still follow the show and follow Digital Spy's soaps coverage on Twitter at SoapScoop and on Facebook at facebook.com/digitalspysoaps.
And that is it. Have a great week. Have a great rest of the year. Merry Christmas. And hopefully speak soon.
Yeah, we will see you soon. Have a Merry Christmas, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.